This message comes to you from Community Worship Center, Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is our prayer that this word brings guidance, strengthens relationships, inspires outreach, and draws you deeper into worship. At Community Worship Center, our motto is, "Let's grow together." May this message encourage your spirit and ignite your faith.
Let's get right into the word. Come on and say the word. Let's all stand to your feet as we go into the word. Acts chapter 28, verses 3 onwards. It is here the Holy Spirit is highlighted in this context of scripture. Acts chapter 28, verses 3 onwards. Bible says in verse number 3, if you're with the preacher, say yes. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper or venomous snake that came out of the fire and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on to his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom thou hast escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live." Verse 5 says, "And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm." Verse 6 with me, just walk with me through this narrative. "Howbeit thou, they looked, when they looked, he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." Verse number 7 says, "In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius." Somebody say Publius. "Who received us and lodged us there 3 days courteously." The Bible says in verse 8, "And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick with a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in," here it is, "prayed, laid his hands on him," and the Bible says, let's all say together, "and healed him." I want to put a tagline on this text and simply call it, "I shall survive." I shall survive. Let's bow our heads as we bless this word. Spirit of the living God, won't you fall afresh on all of us today? We ask you, Lord, that you will take now lips of clay, let them move by the impulse of your love. And so, Lord, as I kneel in front of your people, as Ellen White reminds ministers to kneel in dependence on God, I beg you, Lord, that you will stand in my body, Holy Ghost. Use me now in a meaningful manner. May you send angels who excel in strength to take up residence in this place. Won't you heal some broken heart? Won't you set somebody free? And as I always pray, may the devil be terrified. May your people be edified, but your name be glorified today. May we be so careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, let somebody say, amen. Just hold your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, or just wave to your neighbor if you're too boozy to do that. Say, neighbor, I love you. I really, really love you. And there is nothing you can do about it. Touch yourself. That neighbor was too bougie. They didn't want to talk to you. Touch your own self and say, self. Come on, we don't believe in bad mind and haters. Say, self. Oh, self. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Come on, speak over your life. You've got a hand clap. He's worthy to be praised. Maybe seated in the presence of the Lord. Good to see you, Tevon. That's my good friend. I used to pastor him when I was in Jamaica. You guys are feeding him real good. That's my boy there. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many persons believe that grace will always be greater than our sins? In holy pages, this truth can be found. A promise to stand on when darkness abounds. Hope aright never loses, and wrong never. And grace will always be greater than sin. Grace will always be greater than sin. Calvary has proven its time. Jesus is waiting. New hope is in hand.
Hallelujah.
And grace will always be greater than sin.
Hallelujah.
Calvary has proven its time again. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, God's grace will always be great.
Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God's grace, marvelous grace, wonderful grace, will be greater than our sins. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I shall survive. Known to many as the queen of disco music, Grammy Award winner Gloria Gaynor wrote the hit song, I Will Survive. Some of the lyrics goes like this. At first I was petrified, kept thinking I could not live without you by my side. Some of y'all look at me kind of funny. Y'all know the song. I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to live, I know I'll stay alive. I've got all my life to live, and I've got all my love to give. I will survive. Gaynor spoke of surviving without her lover despite the stress and strain of the love relationship. But here in this life, as we seek to navigate our fears and our faith in this crazy world we're living in, I'm here to testify that I cannot survive in the season of my life without the life-changing grace and favor of Jesus Christ. Because every time the devil shows up attacking me, God keeps covering me with his mercies. And I'm sure there's somebody here who can testify this week that the devil tried to put you through hell and high water. The devil tried to take you out. But despite the devil's attempt to take you out, you are still here. For whatever the devil meant for evil, God has a way of turning things around. I wish I had a for all good. That's why the songwriter says his goodness keeps running after me. It keeps running after me. Will somebody say amen? And here in this narrative, as we see the Apostle Paul, who is the pivotal personality for this particular passage, he's now being imprisoned and incarcerated on a ship heading to Rome to receive his life sentence. All because Paul stood up for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You all remember Paul, don't you? Paul, who was first called Saul, who met Jesus on the road to Damascus and received transformation from a prosecutor to a preacher. I'm talking about Paul, the erudite scholar and tent maker who was schooled at the feet of Gamaliel in the Roman Theological Seminary. Paul, the one who wrote 13 of the 27 epistles noted in New Testament theology. Y'all still with me? I'm talking about Paul, the one who said in Galatians 2 verse 20, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ who lives within me." Paul, described by Josephus, described physically as bow-legged, bald-headed, scar-faced, cross-eyed Paul. You like that? Paul didn't look too good. But Paul, God has a way of looking past your deficiencies, hallelujah, and using your proficiencies for his glory. Anybody can testify, God has a way of looking past your faults and giving us his favor, because God always equips who he calls. Paul knew what it meant to be prosecuted for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul knew what it felt like to be attacked time and time again by the devil, yet he survived. Oh, church, I like Paul, because if you would remember, Paul, he was beaten, thrown out of a city for preaching the gospel, but he survived, brushed himself off, picked himself up, and went back to preach again. But here in Acts chapter 8, I'm heading somewhere. Follow me through this narrative. We're now at the tail end of Paul's ministry. Paul has planted numerous churches throughout Europe, but by the time we reach Acts chapter 28, Paul is now on his way to meet Caesar for trial to decide if he lives or dies. As a matter of fact, he has been arrested for preaching the gospel. Here it is, because get this, child of God, whenever you're on a pathway of righteousness, whenever you're on a pathway of purpose, whenever you stand up for Jesus Christ, you can expect some pushbacks, setbacks, and hitbacks from the devil. You can expect some rumble and tumble from the devil, because the devil doesn't trouble his own. And if the devil isn't attacking your life one way or another, check yourself. You may be on the wrong team, for it's possible you're living in the devil's camp rent free. Uh-oh. Press play. Let me say it again. If you have not been attacked by the devil, check yourself. You could be on the wrong team. Because get this, being a follower of Christ doesn't preclude you from having problems. It doesn't disqualify you from having difficulties. And it doesn't avoid you from having adversities. But today I'm so glad, Community Church, I'm on the devil's hit list, because it tells me I'm wrapped up and I'm tied up and I'm tangled up with Jesus. Today it doesn't matter what the devil wants to do to you or me. The Bible says if God is for us, hallelujah, somebody, who cares? Be against us. I'm heading somewhere. My first point is, the devil will seek to attack you when he sees God's assignment on you. Let me teach the text before I preach. Notice, if you will, Paul is now on the ship. He is in a group of other prisoners who are also being shipped to Rome. 275 other prisoners, to be exact, who are to be shipped to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. In early chapters, an angel of the Lord appeared to Paul, telling him that they will experience storms on this voyage, but there'll be no loss of life. You're going to be shipwrecked, but no loss of life. Can I put this footnote of advertisement? God didn't say that when you get over on the other side, you won't go through problems. But the key thing is that Jesus is with you. Now, at the close of chapter 27, they had already experienced a storm, and now they are shipwrecked. Elder, good to see you again. And so the Bible says, watch this, in Acts chapter 28, turn with me in your Bibles, verse 1, they land on the island of Malita or Malta, whichever translation you please. It is an island in the Mediterranean Sea, this is sweet, not colonized by Greek heritage. Because the Bible says there are barbarians that don't speak the Greek language who live on the island. You still with me? But even though these savages didn't speak the Greek language, the text tells us they were very kind to Paul and the prisoners. The savages and natives were known cannibals. They were very dangerous and vicious people who will kill you on arrival. Some theologians say they oftentimes would kill the people and eat them. But the Bible says instead of killing them, the savages are blessing them. Oh, y'all missed a shout right there. Let me go again. The cannibals, instead of eating Paul and Silas for lunch, breakfast, and dinner, they decided to help them by building a fire to keep them warm from the cold. Will somebody say amen? Because God can cause your enemies to be your footstool. When they don't feel like blessing you, the Holy Spirit compels them to do it. Is there anybody here who can testify what they meant for evil on your life? God can turn it around for your good. He can make you the head when you were the tail. He can lift you above when you were beneath. He can make your haters your elevators. That's why the psalmist David says, thou preparest a table before me, hallelujah, somebody, in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Wave your head and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Because say, me. Touch yourself and say, me. All the days of my life. Let me put it where you can catch it. I remember I was pastoring in Florida before I came up into the cold. Don't ask me why I did that. But when I came up here, I was pastoring in Florida over three and a half years ago in Florida Conference. And I won't tell you where I was pastoring because you will research the story. And a lady came into my office and said, "Pastor, I'm going to lose my job." I said, "Why, honey, why?" She said, "My boss told me to tell you that if I don't work on a Sabbath, I'm going to lose my job. Pastor, I'm the only one in the family. I'm a single parent. I have three kids." Said, "Pastor, what should I do?" Then she said, "Pastor, don't preach to me." I said, "I ain't going to preach to you. What are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to pray." The Spirit of God told me to tell her, "Pray for 7 days. We're going to pray and fast and watch God work." Is there anybody who believes there's power in prayer today? You believe that prayer brings miracles? Because certain breakthroughs only come through prayer and what? Not only prayer, but fast. So she said, I said, "It's Monday now. We're going to fast till next week Monday." I said, "Okay, Pastor." She said, "Pastor," you know, the Jamaicans, you know, the Caribbean people. "Pastor, if I don't get the money, if I don't keep my job, you're going to have to pay my rent and my food for the kids." I said, "The Lord shall provide." When she left, kid you not, I went on my knees and said, "Lord Jesus." I said, "Lord, please, I'm begging you. I don't have no money. Pastors don't make..." Thank God for... Good to see you, Sister Jules. Thank God for good wives. Amen, somebody. Monday came. I got a call in the midday. I said, "Lord, help me, Jesus." She said, "Pastor..." No, if you're from the Caribbean, if you're from the islands, you know what that means. A story, something is coming. Y'all still remember y'all from some of y'all from the island? She said, "Pastor, I said, "What?" I said, "What is it?" She started to laugh. So I said, "Okay, this is good news. Praise God." She said, "Pastor, guess what? When I went to work this morning, I saw my boss in the office with the head organizers, the big CEOs, and they were talking to him, and then I saw him pack up his stuff, and he left." Y'all still with the preacher? Y'all. I said, so what else happened? She said, "Pastor, they called me into the office and said, 'Sister, based on your stewardship and your track record, you are next in line. We're going to make you the boss.'" Anybody know who God could? I said, God is good. He'll make you the head when you were the tail. He'll lift you above where you meet the needs. He's a turnaround God. He can turn things around at your workplace. Turn things around in your family. Turn things around in your finances. Come on, snap, 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 snap. He's a turnaround God. Somebody say yeah. The songwriter says he's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. He may not be there when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Will somebody lift up their hands, touch your neighbor, and say, "Neighbor, he's a turnaround God. He can turn things around. He can pick you up. He can turn you around. He can plant your feet on a solid ground." Somebody say, amen. Praise God. You're pushing me. We're not there yet. We're coming. I like you. The text. Can I keep on with the text? Y'all sit down. You're making me nervous. Sit down. The text tells us, instead of the cannibals eating Paul and the prisoners, God led them to bless them. Because God has a way of reversing the order of things. Don't worry about your haters, young people, because God can cause your haters to be your elevators. You know who are A haters? WhatsApp this. H, having. A, anger. T, towards. E, everyone. R, reaching. S, success. Haters. Let me repeat that so you can tweet that, WhatsApp that, and Snapchat that. Y'all still with the preacher? H, having. A, anger. T towards E, everyone, R reaching, S success, haters. Because when God's favor is on your life, no weapons formed against you shall prosper. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Will somebody lift up their hands and magnify the name of the Lord? So the Bible says, watch this. This is sweet now. As they began to gather the sticks to start the fire, Paul decides to participate in the making of the fire. So he reaches for some sticks to help in the fueling of the fire. And as he was reaching out to throw the sticks in the fire, the text tells us in verse 3 that a venomous snake bites Paul on the hand. In fact, the snake fastens on his hand. This is unnatural behavior for a venomous snake, because venomous snakes have no need to hang on to you. They just bite, envenomate you, and let go. But the intent of the snake was clearly to ensure that Paul would be dead. This is it. The snake didn't show up until Paul started to build something. Why? Because Paul was on an assignment of building. He was building something that would ultimately kill the snake. Come here. Let me put it where you can catch it. God has an assignment on each of our lives. But the devil will only start attacking your life when he sees you finally moving into the purpose and assignment God has for you. Can I keep on going? Can I push it? And today God has sent me on an assignment to this church to tell somebody, it doesn't matter how much the devil may be attacking your life, don't give up on God. He won't give up on you. For the song says, when you walk with the Lord, in the light of his word, with the glory set on his way, when you do his good will and abide in him still, it is best if you trust and obey. Can I keep on going? Let me teach the text. I'm coming to the sweet part. Notice, if you will, the snakes was on the island the whole time, but it was not until Paul started to build the fire then the snakes show up. Y'all still with me? The snake, Ellen White says, is symbolic of Satan and his diabolic and devious plans to attack your life. The fire is symbolic of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God that fills us with power to do God's assignment. The island is symbolic of the work of God that needs to be accomplished by us, the church. Then shall the end come. But we can't do it unless we have the spiritual fire of the Holy Spirit, which brings the presence and power of God to fruition in our lives. That's why the song says, I wish somebody so. I wish our churches today would catch a fire, burn with the Holy Ghost. We need some fire on Facebook for Jesus. We need some fire on Snapchat and WhatsApp for Jesus. We need to be on fire with the three angels' messages to tell the world to fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. We need to lift up the trumpet and loud let it made that Jesus is coming again. We need to get back to our mission. Too many of us are on fire with politics and fire with black and white and social justice. All these things are good, but the first place the church should be united on is to be on fire with the word of God and the mission and ministry of the church. Can I remind you of something else? Notice, if you will, here it is now. It's my favorite part. It's when you are ready to start a firebrand ministry for Christ, or you're ready to give your life to Christ, that's when snakes show up. Can I push it? When you're ready to move forward with your life, that's when snakes show up. When they give you a nice church board office, some people who you thought were friends, snake, jealous snake show up. Young lady, your snake could be a toxic lover stealing love on the side. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. Some of y'all are quiet on that one. The toxic lover in your life that the devil is using to pull you off the path of purpose It's time to snake. It's time to let that man go. Leave the man alone. Young man, your snake could be an addiction to pornography or a party lifestyle. Your snake could be a love for drinking and smoking. Your snake could be jealous and bad mind friends in your friendship circles. Your snake could be hypocrisy and unforgiveness in your heart. Snakes will show up in your family. Snakes will show up at your workplace. Snake will show up in your church. Because get this, not everybody in your crew is in your corner. And right now, some of us need to go in your phone, take up your phone, and delete and block some snakes out of your phone book. And say, so long, bye-bye. My wife and I, we're counselors, give you free counselors. I said, some of y'all need to go in your, because God is getting to ready to move you in the next season of your life. You don't need these snakes to follow you. They're watching your WhatsApp status and their Instagram stories, and they have nothing to say to you. Bad mind. Haters. So long. Bye-bye. Statistics say that 8,000 people die in the United States because of snake bites from venomous snakes. 100,000 across the world die from snake bites. 11,000 die every year in India from snake bites. Snakes are deceptive. Snakes are cunning. Snakes are deadly. Snakes are even sitting down beside you in church. Don't look at the person next to them. Have you ever been there before? Everyone was cool with you when you were sitting down doing nothing in church. But the minute you develop the initiative to get up and do something, they didn't want to do, the mere fact that you see you coming with passion and purpose to do what God has told you to do, that's when the snakes show up. I'm almost done. My second point. The devil will seek to attack you, but he can't break you because God's got you. The devil will seek to attack you, even in the church. But he can't break you, sister, because God's got you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm almost done. I don't think the story and incident is a mere coincidence. Because the Bible tells us that Satan is a prince of this world. And just as he controlled the snakes of Pharaoh, the magicians, when Moses thrown down his rod, he has the same power to control this snake in the story. To bite Paul with the intent to kill him. Paul was not a criminal, but the snake chose to bite him. Paul did nothing wrong. He was innocent compared to the rest of prisoners, but the snake chose to bite him. Of all the 275 prisoners, the snake chose to bite Paul. You know why? Dogs only bark at moving vehicles. Dogs don't bark at vehicles that are not moving. You see, Paul was being attacked because the enemy recognized he had a divine assignment on his life. Paul was on a move to Caesar. He was happy to be in this custody because he was going to get a chance to preach to Caesar. Paul was on a move for God. Let me put it where you can catch it. In American football, you will notice it's always the person more than likely the quarterback who has the ball is on the move that is being chased and hit down by other people. The reason why so many of you have problems in your life, the reason why sometimes you feel like you're being attacked all the time, is because the enemy sees that you're on a move to glory. God has an assignment. God has an agenda on your life. The devil may seek to attack your family and attack your mind and attack your body. He may attack your children and attack your health and attack your finances. But I'm here to tell somebody, if he shake you, he can break you. Keep on pressing. Keep on pushing. Keep on praying. Just push.
pray till something happens. The text says, I'm done. When the snake bit Paul, the natives formed a perception about him and thought he was a murderer and he would die. But as they waited for Paul to swell up, roll over, and die because of the snake bite, Paul shook off the snake and it fell in the fire. It fell where? Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, whenever the devil seeks to bite you, just shake him off. Because God will make you venom resistant because you got anti-venom power. Because the Bible says, you don't remember what kind of, you know we have power? The Bible says, all power is given among us to trample on serpents. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, when he bites you, just shake him off. Come on, let's have some church. Is there anybody here who can testify that the devil has tried to take you out so many times, but you're still here, you're still breathing, you're still moving, you're still living, because God has given you the power to shake him off. So when the enemy comes your way, bites you with fear and anxiety, to shake him off. Shake him off, because God has given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. When the devil bites you with sickness, just shake him off. Shake him off, because when doctors say no, Jesus say yes. When haters in your life, shake him off. Shake him off. For no weapons formed against you shall prosper. Because if God is for me, who can be against you? When the enemy send bad mind people, haters your way, just shake him off. Because he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide. Shall abide. Shake, shake, shake. Touch your neighbor. Wave your hand in the air. Say, shake. Shake him off. Shake off anxiety. Shake off depression. Shake off haters. Shake off financial stress. Shake, shake. Because you're bitten, but you're not smitten. You're bitten, but not smitten. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Who should I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom should I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to steal my flesh, they will stumble and fall. My final point, I'm done. I could have stopped preaching there, but I have to be faithful to the narrative. Here it is. Last point. God will use the same hurt the devil meant for adversity and turn it around for your glory. The story ain't finished yet. Can I keep on going? The Bible says in verse 6, closing, that after the natives realize that Paul didn't die, they thought he was a god. So the Bible says the father of the island, the chief called Publius, his father had two ailments, bloody flux and a fever. But the Bible says in verse 8 that Publius brought Paul, this is sweet, to his father. Paul went in, prayed with him, laid his hands on him, and the Bible says he was healed. Notice, if you will, the same hands that were bitten were the same hands God used for blessing. The same hands that suffered hurts is the same hands that God used for healing. The same hands that were down, God used to raise somebody up. When the devil meant for evil in your life, God can turn it around for your good. For anybody believes there's victory in your valley. There is some gain when you go through some pain. There is still a testimony when you go through a test. That's why the songwriter says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. So just in case you're falling by the wayside of life, the hopes and dreams you're scattering, you are broken inside. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. Hallelujah today. The potter wants to put you back together again. And I'm so glad that the potter has me in his hand. It doesn't matter how broken you are today. It doesn't matter how messed up. It doesn't matter how broken you are in sin. Will somebody say amen? When his wounded hands touch mine. When his wounded hands touch mine. Somebody say, my Jesus, set me free from all infirmity. When his wounded hands touch mine. Therefore, the main lesson the story is tailored to teach us is that healing can come from wounded hands. Can I remind you that there is somebody who was wounded for all transgression? Let's have church. He was bruised for all iniquities. The chastisement of all peace was upon him. By his stripes, we all healed. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ was bitten on the old rugged cross by the serpent. Will somebody say amen? They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He bowed his head. For me, he died. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He snatched the keys from hell and the grave. He said, see you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. He looked at death and said, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. The Son of Man and the Son of God came forth from the grave with all power in his hand. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, because he lives, because he lives. All fear is gone because I know who holds the future. Anybody know who holds the future? Stand up if you know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me. Alone. Life's not away. Put your head back. Wave your hand in the air. Wave it like you just don't care. Say he lives. He lives. Living he loved me. Died he saved me. Buried he carried. My sins far away. Rising. 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 He justified. Free me forever. One day, hallelujah, one day, he's coming back, glorious day, say it, yeah, yeah. One day. Doesn't matter how broken you are. He may have bit you all week from people who you thought were your friends. But when the devil comes your way to shake him off, shake off anxiety, shake off depression, shake off stress, because God has given you the antivenom power. It's time for Christians not to be defensive, but offensive. All power is given to us. A lady said to me, it seems as if the church has no power anymore, especially in spiritual warfare. But I've seen demons real life. But when you're wrapped up on the right team, no weapons formed against you. You got to declare it over your life when you get up. So I'm the head and not the tail. Come on, I'm the head, not the tail. Speak over your life. I'm above, not beneath. Life and death comes with the power of the tongue. Can I tell you something? Before you play that track, I'm done. Some years ago, I was preaching in Jamaica. I did 11 years in Jamaica. You can sit. 11 years. Now I'm in my 16th year of pastoring. I know I look young, but I got little age. I started very young. Sometimes as Christians, we believe we have it all together. We have a nice Sabbath talk and a Sabbath smile. But when trouble really comes, we have a form of godliness. But deny the power. I was preaching for all these years, but still didn't know God. I was preaching in Manchester, won't tell the church, that we baptized over 50 souls in one night. And as a young preacher, I was feeling happy and big in my head. When I left Manchester, came down to a place called Albion, where I was staying, if you're from Jamaica, top Albion, I was staying there. At 12 o'clock, I was driving in, and I recognized all the lights were out. When I opened my door and I went to open my gate, I left my door open, the car running to open the gate quickly. When I turned around, two gunmen. One gun came to my head and the other one was looking at me and said, Pastor, give me everything, your laptop bag and your phone, your car keys. It seems they were watching me every night when I went out to preach. Have you ever been there before? When you see death right in front of you. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, children of God. We have no time to play around with our spirituality. I know my time is up, but can I keep on talking? The gunman had a gun at my head. And as a preacher, I got scared, and the Holy Spirit looked at me. I heard something in my ear and said, didn't you just preach no weapons? The Spirit of God says, just say the blood of Jesus. Anybody still believe in the blood? The gun was on my head. It looked crazy, but it's good to see everyone. I'm good to see my brother. I just said, the blood of Jesus. I lifted up my hands. The gunman got, I guess he was scared. He jumped back and he clicked the gun and nothing came out. God blocked the bullet. I kept on shouting, the blood. The blood. Anybody believes in the blood? The gunman started to run away, and my neighbors came out, you know, the Jamaican neighbors, the machete, and they were running him down, because by this time everybody's light was on. And as they were running, the two gunmen, the other one tried to shoot again, and God, thank God that bullet didn't touch me. But I heard them say, Obia, pastor. I said, I don't specialize in Obia. I'm with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to and is saved. Will somebody say amen? Listen to the preacher today. Time for Christians to be on the offensive. Stand up in the devil. Stand up over sickness. Stand up in the face of the devil. With all power. As the church stands with me. Stand with me. We won't pray. A few years after, would you believe it? About 5 years, the gunman phoned me. Released from prison.
I didn't know how he looked like because he had a mask, but he knew my face. He found me, came out of good behavior. He was charged for possession of firearm and allegedly to, you know, we call it, you know, almost to kill somebody, the attempted murder. And he came out and he found me on another series I was preaching at. And he said, "Pastor, you don't know my face, but I remembered you. I was the man who held you up." He said, "Pastor, I went to prison. And the whole time I was wrestling in my mind, who is this God? People say God is a real, only a fool says. I'm a living testimony. The grace of God." So excuse me if I sound so loud today. But when you cheat that, you don't know my story. You can't take my glory. You don't know how many challenges I've been here. He said, "Pastor, I found Jesus in prison like they all do. But the best part, he says, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. There is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, he can do it for you." That's all my testimony is. My wife said I should write a book with all these things. It's all my testimony. You're in your brokenness. You're shackled. You're broken. You feel like giving up. You're tired of being tired. But God can make a way in any situation. Today you want to step out of your seat and come and let me pray for you. You're going through it with the devil. Every time you get back up, he hits you down. But you want me to pray over your life. Just walk out of your seat. Play that track for me. Walk out of your seat. Whatever the issue is, we're going to pray about it. My first appeal for those who are baptized, but you say, "Pastor, I need a special prayer. I need a special prayer. Let's come. I want to speak over your life. Come to Jesus." Do you believe that God is a way maker? Just lift up your hands if you believe that God is a way maker. All hands lifted. All hands lifted. Stand by, band. Stand by. All hands lifted. Stand by. Hallelujah. Stand by, praise teams. All hands lifted. You are here, moving in omens. I'll worship you. I'll worship you. You are here, working in this place. Hallelujah. I'll worship you. All hands lifted. I'll worship you. You are here, moving in omens. More track. I'll worship you. I'll worship you. You are here, working in this place. I'll worship you. Everybody say,
"Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness."
My God,
that is who you are.
All hands up to everybody say,
"Waymaker, miracle worker,
said promise keeper,
light in the
yes,
darkness."
Yes, my. Going through your issues, you're going through your brokenness, but lift up your hands and say, "God is here." You're man in every heart. I worship you. Lift your voice and say, "Way me.
Everybody say, "Waymaker,
You're going through your issues right now. You're going through your problems. You want special prayer? Let's raise your hand where you are. God sees your hand. I'm going to make my second appeal. I'm going to make my second appeal. Hallelujah. Oh, hands lifted. Come declare over your life.
Because you made a way. When all paths were against the wall, and it looks as if it was over, you made a way.
Anybody believe that today?
And we're standing here holding me close. You made a way. As if was over.
Anybody believe that today?
So you
declared over your life.
May.
I know my time is up, but declare over your life.
And we're standing here only because.
One more time, declare over your life.
Sin you may. When our backs are against the wall, and it looks as if you made.
All hands lifted, declare.
And we're standing here. How am I to worship? How am I to bow down? You're my Savior, you're my God, you're all together lovely, all together, wonderful
to me.
Today you're saying, Pastor, I'm not a baptized member, but you want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. You're not a member of this church. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. You're not a member of this church. Not a member of this church. Come, sister, come. Come, come, come. Not a member of this church. You're saying, Pastor, I need a special prayer. Let's walk out. Come on, shake my hand. Come, come, come. Come, sister, come. Praise God. Come right over here. Come right over here. Give her a card.
I'll give myself, and here am I to. Here am I to bow.
Oh, hands lifted. Come on. You want special prayer at the altar.
That you're.
Come on, sister. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Come. Let me pray for you. Come. Give her a card. Give her a card. God is moving today. God is going to bring some change.
The louder. Yeah. I never, how much it costs to see my Savior upon.
Oh, hands lifted.
I never know how much it costs, Jesus,
Come on, all hands lifted. All hands lifted. Yes, Jesus. I never know.
To see my sins upon the cross, I never know how much it costs to see my sins upon the cross.
All heads bowed, all eyes closed, go and pray. To God and close your eyes and talk to God. Talk to God now.
I gave myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh Lord, I give myself away
so you can.
Come on, all hands close. A few seconds to talk to God. Talk to him about your issues. Talk to him about your problems. Talk to him about how many times the devil has tried, but God can bring change and he can set somebody free.
Myself away. Get myself away. So you.
Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Oh, loving Heavenly Father, we magnify, we glorify your name today. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, you are worthy to be praised. Today, your people have come because they still believe there's power in the name of Jesus. They come to the altar because they believe there is victory in the name of Jesus. They come today because they believe there is healing for their brokenness. So today I lift up my hands, the hour is late, and I pray for sweet anointing to fall upon every worship of the altar today. Somebody broken in drinking and broken in malice and shackled in depression and broken in anxiety, we thank you, God. You will break chains and set somebody free. Because whom the Son set free is truly free indeed. Hear our prayers, O God. Attend unto our cry from the ends of the earth till we cry, Lord, to thee. When our hearts are overwhelmed, we beg you, God, lead us to the rock that is higher than I. I pray for those at the altar who are not yet baptized but going through their stuff, trying to navigate life. Help them to know that you are still in control. Lord, help them to know, don't give up on God, for he won't give up on you. We pray for the pastor and the leaders of this church, board members, elders, deacons, deaconesses, members, even the members of the tech team and the musicians and singers. We pray, God, that he'll keep us on fire, keep us united. Because united we stand, divided we will fall. It's the last days. The devil is going to keep on biting us. That old snake is trying to bite families and mess up marriages and give disunity in our church. But I beg you, God, you will unite us, for the time of trouble is at hand. Keep us faithful, keep us true. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Take us to the way from thy presence, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us.
But we beg you, God, restoring us the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within us. So, Lord, as we go, consecrate us now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May our souls look up with a steadfast hope at all our wells, the lust in thine. So let the words of our mouth and the silent meditation of our hearts be found acceptable in thy blessed sight. Oh Lord, thank you for being our strength and our redeemer. Let the churches of the Lord say, amen. Come on, put your hands together and give God a hand clap. Come on, give God a hand clap. He's worthy to be praised. God bless you, God bless you.
Give myself away.